From the Ghost Knight Media Studios, welcome to the Paranormal Underground Presents podcast, where we explore the unexplained with our resident panel and our special guests.
Hey everyone, it's Karen. What you're about to hear is an interview that Cheryl and I recently did with Zach Bagans, Aaron Goodwin, and Nick Groff from Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures. Initially, Zach wasn't with us, so what you will hear in the beginning is Cheryl and I just chatting with Aaron and Nick, and then when Zach comes on the line, we start the interview. I also wanted to let you know that there may be some audio issues. We were all in a room, a phone room, on the Travel Channel, and there were some audio issues inherent with that, but I tried to correct as many of them as I could. Thanks. Let's get started.
Always waiting on Zach.
This happens a lot, does it?
We all have a tendency to wait on each other sometimes, so it all evens out.
Yeah.
We like to give each other hard times.
Yeah, we know how that is.
Are you guys on location?
No, we're actually at home still working on last shoot.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even hear your question, I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Oh, I was just asking if you guys are on location.
Oh, yeah, we just got back, actually, from Virginia City, Nevada. Went back to our roots.
Cool.
You did.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Did you investigate some of those first pilot episode locations?
Yes, we did, and it was amazing. It's going to be coming up in October, I think. October or one of those months, November, for all the new episodes coming out.
Fantastic. That's great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff.
Did you go back to the gold field? I'm probably asking some of the questions for later, but...
No, it's fine. No, we didn't go back to the gold field. We actually went back there for a ghost hunt, though.
Yeah.
We did a ghost hunt. I think it was, Aaron, was it February of 08? I'm totally lost now, or 09. I forget what it was. Time flies by.
Oh, it was, it had to be 08 because it was in February, though. I remember it was snowing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 08.
Ghost hunt, I think it was not fun.
But
fun,
but
awesome,
it's just
now. Yeah.
Do they allow people in there still, or are they pretty much... Aren't they renovating to actually make it back into a hotel?
I was hoping so. I mean, Zach and I actually sat down with the owner when we were there for the ghost hunt, and we were talking to him about that. You know, we were telling him and pushing on that to, you know, open the place up or let us do something here or whatever, because this place is awesome, especially with the evidence that we got, too, from our ghost hunt, from, you know, filming the documentary there and all that stuff. But from my understanding, I really don't know. I haven't been in contact with them for a good year now since the ghost hunt. And I heard they haven't been letting anybody in there at all. Like, it's extremely hard to even get permission to do anything there. And they have the whole place, like, surrounded and barricaded up, and the police monitor all the time, because I heard there's a lot of break-ins, which makes it kind of sad. So kind of put a damper on things, I think.
I think that happens a lot to places that are abandoned that have a haunted reputation. Is ultimately, they have to board them up as soon as they get any attention. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, no, it's too bad. Yeah, it is. It is, because it makes it difficult, too, for us to try to get permission and go in there, because, you know, they're already mad about people breaking in. So it's a challenge sometimes.
Yeah, you would think that they would actually be looking into what they could do, because they could be making some money with that, I would think.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. You know, I definitely think so. I mean, when we did Bobby Mackey's Music World in Kentucky there, that was unbelievable. And Zach and I were dying to go there for years, and Aaron. And when we went there, just like with our evidence that we captured, it was just like amazing. And Bobby Mackey is all for it. Like, he's been pushing that place for people to come there now and everything.
Places don't allow it because they don't want the publicity of it. They think it's bad for business, and, you know, that's tough because there's a lot of places that we try to go to and just can't because they don't want that.
Yep, I've come up against
that. It's weird. Sometimes they just don't want all that publicity and stuff, which I don't understand, but especially nowadays.
Yeah.
But who knows? A lot of places we go to do are awesome. Is that Zach? Zach?
Somebody beeped.
Maybe. Was that an EVP? Is that a disembodied voice? That was kind of weird. We have that happen to us a lot.
The disembodied like voices?
They tend to follow us around. Yeah, they tend to follow us home and follow us around. That was Zach that time. Yeah.
Zach, are you
on now? Okay, that's even weirder. I don't know now.
You have ghosts either, in your phone lines.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey guys, sorry. Yeah, this is Zach. I keep having issues calling this meeting thing, but here I am.
This is Karen. You and I have actually spoken the last time that we did Paranormal Underground interview, and it's good to talk to you again. And also with me is Cheryl Knight.
Hey, Zach.
Hello. Hi.
I wanted to get started by asking about your live event on October 30th. Tell me what the viewers can expect with that.
Live event is going to be 7 hours of live paranormal investigating. And it's going to be a live event, I think, unlike any other. Because we're still going to be preserving our lockdown. Typically, you would need 500 camera crews following you around, but no, the Ghost Adventures crew has found a way to preserve the three of us being locked inside. Why is that such a big deal? Well, that is a huge deal, because so much paranormal evidence is audio, is video. You get other kinds of people in these locations, especially during a live event. You don't know who you're, who's going to walk in the room with you or an accident or you know, the camera guy's going to shout something over there. No, that's called contamination. We go to a great measures to make sure that just the three of us are locked down inside these locations. We're going to have a series of robotic cameras that are going to be operated from people on the outside of the location. We're actually going to have patch-in spots to where we're going to be hand-holding cameras that are going to be live. Yes, that's a great responsibility on our part. But we're also, because we are so diverse and because we are trying to really show the world that, that ghosts are real, we're going to be bringing in some people at different hours during the time that we're locked inside. The old lock keeper at the front door is going to be escorting different people who we chose to be going in this location with us and investigating with us for an hour. Some of the top leading other paranormal specialists and investigators in the world. We're going to be having Mark and Debbie Constantino, who are EVP specialists. They're going to be investigating with us to get EVP live, and we're going to be going over their EVP footage live. You know, I mean, come on, how awesome is that? We're going to ask questions and then go over find what responses we've got immediately after. I mean, you can't get any more real. You can't get any more proof positive that things are going on. And that's what we're hoping to get. We're going to be bringing in a sensitive, Chris Fleming, who has been on, what is the name of that show, Nick, that Chris was on?
I think it was, I forget exactly the name of it. It was Paranormal.
Dead Famous, wasn't it? Dead Famous.
Dead Famous.
That's what it was. Dead Famous.
Yeah, and Chris is a great guy, and he's got some new equipment that he's going to be bringing on, and we're going to investigate with him. We've got, who else do we got? We've got a guy who's going to be bringing a piece of equipment that is absolutely amazing. It's a piece of equipment that is unlike anything that I think anybody has ever seen before. I don't know if we can disclose of it yet. I mean, can we, Nick? I mean, I haven't heard of
it. Yeah, let's keep it top secret, because this is probably by far one of the biggest things that we will experience and experiment with. So we're even Zach, myself, and Aaron are extremely excited to try out what this guy is going to bring in. And this right here, if this, you know, what he's going to experiment with, it's going to be absolutely amazing if we can capture first time ever on live television is what will happen. So October 30th.
And we also got Dave Schrader, who's the host of Darkness Radio.
Yeah.
Dave has been there with us from day one. I think is a very strict personality. It complements our Ghost Adventures crew. So we're going to be having Dave actually come on, and he's going to be the interactive host. He's going to be overseeing our live evidence reviewal base. So he will be working with the show's main host, who I won't be because I'll be locked inside. So we are going to be having a guy kind of, you know, kind of overseeing everything while we're in there investigating. But he's going to be working with Dave Schrader, who's going to be overseeing our evidence reviewal base. We're going to have a couple guys who we chose who will be reviewing our online monitors. We actually have another guy that we chose that will be reviewing our digital recorders for EVPs. Also, our evidence reveal base will have a station where it's fully interactive. This live event is very much catered to people at home to be fully interactive with us.
Great. Now, tell me, do you guys have a spot planned where you're going to lock Aaron in by himself?
Yeah, who knows? We're definitely going to do stuff like that.
Maybe what you should do for interaction is have the viewers vote on where Aaron gets locked in.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, it might not just be Aaron. It might be bringing in random people. So.
Yeah, exactly.
JC style.
Awesome, though. It's October 30th is when it is. 7 hours, like Zach said. It's going to be totally, fully interactive. And you can go to travelchannel.com and read all the stuff up on it through on our site under Ghost Adventures.
So what time is it going to be?
Starts at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Eastern on the Travel
right.
Channel. Okay. Right. Okay. Actually, you answered all of the questions I had about the live event. So, Cheryl, you want to go ahead?
Sure. Yeah, I have some questions for you guys. A couple of them involve possession. And so I'll start with Zach. Zach, during your investigation at Preston Castle, you seem to be taken over by something. Can you talk a little bit about what happened there?
Yeah, I think that was more of a partial possession. It's never happened to me. Even when I got scratched at Bobby Mackey's Music World, I felt angry, but I was in control of myself. It's definitely the first time where I've felt something, not take over me, but something manipulate my mind. There's definitely something in me. However, I had recollection of it. But at times, I would almost forget things. I do remember looking at Aaron and Nick and not really kind of not knowing full details of who they were. And we were downstairs, and I actually – there was a couple things that led up to it. And I recently experienced a full possession in Italy, which will be our kickoff episode in October, which was completely contrasting from what I felt at Preston. I don't know that this place, because there was an unsolved murder case, because the place is still abandoned, which is a good home for spirits to claim as their still their place or still them for them to be trapped.
Okay.
I feel that because it was an unsolved murder case, because there's still unrested information involving that, and you're also involving a person that was murdered, you know, very violently, bludgeoned to death, that only is adding to the fuel of a possible haunting. Earlier during our walkthrough, some lady gave me flowers to leave for Anna Corbin. And during the day, I left those flowers for her where they found her body. Whether or not that was seen by the spirit or not, I don't know.
Okay.
But when we started our investigation, we had countless activity, not only from what we were hearing, seeing, feeling, and experiencing, but was also being backed up by scientific pieces of equipment. Our EDS box, which measures electronic, magnetic energy, was triggered. The alarm was triggered. This is after we heard a scream and then captured a mist-like figure walking down the hallway towards this EDS box. Which is very hard to argue. I mean, come on. You got three different things there that led, actually four different things, because our EM pump was absolutely drained of all of its power. That was the first step. Then we heard a scream down the hall. Then we captured this mist figure going down that hall. And then down the hall where Ed's box, the alarm was triggered. You got four things that happened. And that's what you really need to validate things. Not just, oh, did you hear that? Yeah, I think I heard that. Well, now we got four other things stating, yeah. Not only did they hear it, they picked it up, and this equipment validated it. So there was a lot of things going on in that place that added up to what I think was a partial possession from Anna Corbin. but all I remember is something took over me. I lost my emotions. Yes, I had tears going down my eyes. I don't cry very easily. I'm a kind of a tough-natured guy, and I lost it. And down there, I lost it emotionally. I had tears going down my face. I didn't feel like me. I felt very sad. And I remember Aaron and Nick looked at me once, and they got scared because they thought I looked like an old woman. They didn't know what was wrong with me, and then I just took off. Okay. And I started walking, not knowing where I was going, in this huge dark place. Found this room, sat in the middle of it, and I guess it was Anna Corbin's old room. I felt safe in there. And then Aaron and Nick came in there, and I just was, I was just weird. And then these orbs were disappearing in my head, and it was really weird. Sad, actually.
That segment there, I think it showed you kind of, I don't know if you were singing or whistling down the hallway. It kind of ended, ended in...
It's funny because I don't remember doing that. And I remember seeing that on the video. I was like, what is that? Who is that whistling? They're like, oh, that's you.
That was creepy. Yeah, the singing was a little weird.
Yeah,
it was totally. It took us off guard, Aaron and myself. We were really, really creeped out about it. I mean, we didn't know what was happening to Zach, to be honest with you. Like, earlier when we were in the basement, like Zach said, Aaron and I saw Zach as an old lady. His whole face changed. Wow. It was so weird for a split second. We saw his eyes droop down. He honestly looked like a 6-year-old old lady. Like, his whole face just
detailed.
It was detailed. Yeah, exactly. And Aaron and I looked at each other, and I go, Aaron, did you just see? And before I could even say, he's like, he looked like an old lady. I go, exactly is what I just was seeing. So that was like a first step to the whole thing, that Zach story he just said. After that, it just got very bizarre. But after we left the location, Zach kind of was, like, this thing would just lift it off of him the next morning when we left, and he was kind of like himself again. And, we've experienced that later in, too, with other locations.
Nick, that brings me to my next question. Zach said that he was mostly aware during his partial possession, and I wanted to ask you about your experience at Moon River. And I was wondering, I think you said you don't remember what happened during that episode.
Exactly. Mine was the opposite to what Zach's was. Mine was pure evil. Whatever took over, like, see, the thing about what happened to me is there was a lot of things leading up to what happened to me, just like Zach's with Preston Castle. With mine, it was very bizarre because we were hearing voices. We were capturing, like, knocks responding to us, very intelligent. Whatever spirits were trapped in that basement of Moon River, it was very intelligent, and it was just evil, bad, that did not want us down there. And Aaron kept capturing these balls of energy, which are known as orbs, which are spirits that are in these balls of energy, flying and following my contour of my body and then hitting me in my head and just disappearing.
Yeah, they weren't dust, they weren't bugs. They were not
exactly.
Dust, they were not bugs. We know what those are.
Yeah, we totally debunked that scenario, too, with bugs and dust and water vapor, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
We know what they are. It definitely it just appeared in frame and then disappeared into my head, my face, and it was just very bizarre leading up to what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the weirder part is when I started feeling very bizarre, I didn't know what was going on, and I slowly drifted away in my mind. This is how I recall it. I slowly drifted away, and I totally blacked out. I don't remember anything that played off on video until I watched it later on when we got back home in Vegas. We were watching all the evidence with that shadow figure that came out from behind my back with the EVP I captured right at that same moment with all these orbs hit my head, and then seeing myself react like I did. I had no... memory of this. The only thing I do remember, and I've heard this a lot of people saying, well, if you blacked out, well, why wouldn't you remember, and so on. Well, you know, during this situation, the only thing I do remember is these voices in my head saying, kill him, kill him, kill him. That's all I remember. That's the only thing. Everything else, everything surrounding this whole thing that happened to me was a blur. It was a blackout. And that's my only recall from this situation was just kill him, hurt him, kill him, kill him. And, you know, knowing that, it absolutely scared me. And I'm glad Zach turned on his flashlight when I saw the footage when we were playing it back, and he snapped me out of it, and he just took me out of that basement, because after we left, it's like something was lifted, but my whole energy was totally drained. Like, I was just, my equilibrium was thrown off. I was drained. I had to go sit down. I just couldn't go on. And it was like, it was actually very scary.
Did that affect you, let's say, days, even weeks later, or did you pretty much get over that right away?
No, it affected me big time. It opened up my eyes tremendously to partial possessions and things that can take over your mind and body and control it. Because I never was one to actually believe in this stuff as far as partial possessions or possessions in general. I was always kind of more level-headed, and I'm the type of guy where I have to see it with my own eyes, I have to hear it with my own ears, or I have to experience it, you know? And once I experienced this that happened to me, it opened up my eyes tremendously and said, okay, you know, now we're dealing with something far greater than what we can actually, you know, go against as investigators that we are. And it just told me to be very cautious from now on when we're going into locations, because you do not know what you're dealing with. And that is dangerous.
Okay. My next question is for Aaron. Aaron, have you had any experiences with any type of possession yourself?
I have actually. Coming up in the episode in Italy, it was kind of it was crazy. And I pretty much had something enter my body, and I basically collapsed. I didn't collapse, but I started, like, lightheaded, and I felt like I was going to black out. And then I had to sit down, and I just, like, was falling asleep. Like, I couldn't even keep my eyes open. So then we all got out of the room, and I kind of felt a lot better, and then that's what happened to Zach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we talking about this?
Aaron, while we're talking, I wanted to ask you a question about something that happened back in the pilot episode, so quite a while ago. And it happened in Virginia City, Nevada, I think, when you were investigating a mine there.
And the miner's cabin?
Yes, thank you. You had some experiences there, and I hope I'm not misstating it, but I think that you decided not to continue on to the Goldfield Hotel because you were shaken in what happened there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I've just been a camera operator and, you know, doing my own thing for like 10 years. And these guys came in and asked me to come involved. So I had no clue what was going on with paranormal. I thought I was kind of going there and just shooting, like, you know, a show. You know what I mean? Like just falling around with cameras and stuff. I had no idea I was going to be part of this. And so we get in there, and I had my first experience was in the Wash Show Club. Something entered my body, and once something enters your body, you kind of know something's around after that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so it just, like, passed right through me, and, like, oh, it was terrible. And so then we went to the miner's cabin, and I caught the EVP, is it the devil? And I'm a religious guy, and so that scared me bad. So I pretty much, when we got back, I was done. I was like, no more of this. Absolutely no more. You know, like, I felt tricked, you know, in a way, but it was fun. And so eventually it came down to it that once you have an experience, you kind of want to know what else is out there, and then you start getting kind of addicted to it. And so we went and did the show, and then, you know, I had no idea it was going to be more extreme, but now I'm kind of, now I'm all for it. You know what I mean? I don't like really going by myself, but that's what's good about our crew. Is like, you know, I'm scared. I get scared. I can't help it. I can't help but be scared sometimes.
Right.
And so they feed off of that. So Zach and Nick go in there and, you know, their thing. And then all of a sudden I'm
standing. That's why we use them as bait.
Yeah. Used to hate it. Now I understand it because I know that.
He's like a wounded minnow in a shark pool.
So that's the pilot to now.
I noticed you say that you used to hate it, and now you understand it. You didn't say, and now I love it.
I mean, I never hated it. It just scared me, you know? It really, really scared me.
Sure.
And I mean, I still am, but, I mean, I'll be honest. Nick and Zach will be like, hey, we're going here, and I'll be like, are you serious? Like, I really, like,
get nervous sometimes. I just can't help it. It's just me. That's why I laugh a lot, because when I get nervous or scared, sometimes I have to laugh. You know, I just can't help it.
Now you're facing your fears. That's a good thing, right?
Right, right. And these are fears that I really wasn't intention on finding, but now I'm facing them.
Well, see,
it's great. I love it, though.
There you go. Do you guys consider yourself to be ghost hunters, filmmakers, actors, or some combination of the three? How do you classify yourselves?
Detectives. Personally, I think we're all a little different, but, you know, together, you know, we are all paranormal investigators, you know, and this is what we do. Nobody held an audition for this show. You know, this is something that came from Nick and my, our idea of our fascination with the paranormal. And that's what's beautiful about it. This is our passion. And we know they exist, and it changes your life when they do. And it's forever a thing that we're going to search for, and just keep getting closer and closer to proving that ghosts do exist. But we already know it's 100% to us. And the thing that's cool about the live show is we're really hoping that some of this stuff that happens live is really going to give a shockwave to the world. And this is not, no, we're not entertainers. If we come across, our personalities come across as entertaining, well then, hey, then I guess we're just, you know, down-to-earth guys, which we totally are.
Yeah.
But again, there's different, you know, formalities that we take with the show. I love interviewing people, and I love, you know, doing what I do, and everybody does what we do. We're paranormal investigators, man. We're the Ghost Adventures crew, and we put a whole new style to what we do, and it works great for us. And we're going to keep going strong in a live event and showing stuff that's happening live, which we're hoping to capture. Like I said, that should be a true shockwave.
Cool. Looking forward to it.
And I love to. Yeah, mm-hmm. Awesome. I love documenting it. I think at the same time, sometimes we do come across as like some sort of homicide detectives, because there are cases of unsolved mysteries with people that have been murdered that haven't been solved for 50 years, like Preston Castle. And, you know, when we start investigating with the paranormal connections that we get near a staircase in the basement where things were happening, you know, we're putting two and two together and telling these owners and people to look further into this hot spot, because there might be some sort of evidence connected to that case that they're trying to reopen. So, you know, there's stuff like that, too, that we encounter all the time. So,
so we're paranormal investigators, homicide detectives, and we're like those hardcore journalists. That's a good one. Hardcore journalist.
So you're like kamikaze journalist, paranormal investigating homicide inspectors.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to put that on my business card.
There you go. Yeah. Nick, there was an episode, I believe it was at Essex County Hospital Center, and you locked yourself in a morgue drawer. And I'm curious as to what prompted you to do that, and what happened.
You didn't
when you
do
were
it.
In there. Oh.
Yeah, definitely. That was a good time. No, I didn't actually know it was going to lock when the door shut. It's just something that just came to my head. We always have these brilliant ideas. Hey, what happens if we get in there? And I was like, hey, what happens if I get in a morgue? I wonder what kind of voices that I'm going to capture on a digital recorder where thousands of bodies were laid down to rest after they passed away. There has to be some sort of trapped spirits in here or energy still in this this morgue. So that was kind of the idea of, you know, going above and beyond to try to capture paranormal evidence, and that's exactly what we got. Is I got inside the morgue and I was in there for an hour, which was actually very crazy. And you know, I started hearing hands push against the metal slab doors. I heard someone walking around on the outside of the morgue. I heard someone knock on the morgue slab doors. And, you know, when you're in complete darkness in a morgue where you know where thousands of bodies have been laid down to rest, and you're hearing this activity that's not your mind's playing tricks on you, because it's definitely not, and I'm capturing an EVP, electronic voice phenomena, that is a Class A that says the word die after I ask a question, that's why we do it. That's why we get inside morgues, and that's why we go by ourselves to capture evidence, or like Aaron gets inside a jail where a guy was brutally murdered to death, or why Zach provokes by himself in an area that's supposed to be the most evil, sinister, where people get scratched and harmed and pushed. These are the type of things that we do. We go above and beyond to try to capture paranormal evidence.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. I actually didn't, this isn't on the list of the questions I sent you guys, but it just raised it. And I'm sorry, I think it was probably the ancient ram in, but I could be wrong. You guys were dealing with somebody who was doing some Wiccan or witchcraft types of rituals. And
mm-hmm.
So tell me about that and what your, sort of what your theory was behind that and how that worked for you.
There's no limits that we will really, you know, stop at to do anything to try and get evidence of the paranormal. And again, I just wanted to say something about Nick locking him in there. I mean, if you were to watch Nick, you saw all that energy he exudes from panicking and doing all that. If we had a thermal camera on him, that whole screen would probably be red from all the energy he exerted by being locked in there in that panic state of mind. But I just wanted to bring that into what we do in the witch ritual is that's the emotional energy that we use that has really kind of made us a little bit different, you know, that we don't just walk around with stuff and, you know, blah, 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 you know, we get into that emotional energy. And the Wiccan ritual, you know, when we found out that place was buried on a 5,000-year-old pagan burial ground, hey, what better way to try and summon the spirit than to bring, you know, a witch from right there in that vicinity to do a ritual and try and open up that doorway, you know? And then this is one time where we actually said enough's enough, and we stopped it at a point after not only the three of us, but the actual witch heard a very loud, vibrant growl, snarl coming from behind the altar. Okay, and then I laid down and felt something coming in between my legs. It was like my legs were asleep, and I could feel it getting closer and closer to where my legs connect to my body, and that's when I was like, oh, shit. Okay, something's weird going on here. And then Aaron looked weird, and then I heard jingling noises, and things just started happening, and then, hey, look at the stuff. We captured great evidence at the end of the night there, man. We got some female spirits speaking in an English accent, you know, I mean, we got some great stuff, and those are the kind of stuff that we will do. If we go to some place where we knew voodoo was practiced, let's try and do a voodoo ritual. Let's see if it opens up something. And in the process of doing so, what did we capture? A very creepy face morphing out of a Trinity flame. You know, we do these things because we have great success in doing them.
You obviously do some different techniques to try and enhance the experience and see what you can get out of it. And let's talk a little bit about your question using equipment, such as, I know you've used Marcus Leder's dark light and Brilliant microphone and Bill Chapel's custom equipment. So could you just talk a little bit about that and what your thoughts are on the results that you've gotten so far using that equipment?
Yeah, I think there's just so many skeptics out there that we're really trying to persuade, because the three of us already know 100% that ghosts do exist. And we're not just using equipment to try and gain their, have them switch over to be a believer. We're not doing that for that reason. We're doing that for ourselves as well. Because, hey, if there's one day where we try and actually do prove this, I mean, there's times, you know, on our Virginia City episode that we just filmed a few days ago. And I told Nick this. We were standing there doing EVP work, analyzing the audio right there on camera, and we've been doing that a lot lately. We just did that at the hospital in L.A. We've been reviewing this with random people during interviews, not even yet when we're locked in there, doing it live on camera, live playback, so you can hear these voices with us. You can see that nobody was talking, that that's not our voice, and it's an intelligent to our questions. I want to bring whoever, government scientists, I want to bring police officers, law, I don't care. Get a huge group of people, judges, a governor. I want to get like 10, 15 people and have them come in there with us and witness this stuff right when we get it. And you really can, you can't argue with that. How can you argue with that? Science can't prove it, because science is saying, well, you've got to make things happen on cue. No, that's BS. This sometimes
science can't explain everything, I believe. Right. So the equipment that we're using is there to just better validate things that are happening, things that we're hearing, things that we're seeing. Having all these different instruments, these scientific pieces of equipment, are gaining more credibility for us.
And that's the thing about us, too, is we're extremely open-minded to trying new things and to trying different things to try to validate and capture, like Zach's saying, paranormal evidence. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're bringing on new pieces of equipment. We're trying, you know, we bring on a psychic to do a walkthrough with us. We're open-minded to trying things. That's what it's all about, is trying different things to see what works the best to capture paranormal evidence that us, you know, the living human being people can't explain. There is more than life after death, and that's what we're after.
One piece of equipment that you think has captured the best evidence to date?
Aaron, what do you think? Video goggles?
The goggles, man. Those things are amazing. Those things are
amazing. It's definitely been our most valuable piece of equipment so far. It's been pinpoint accurate. It's what we took on the Today Show and showed the world what we're using. And Bill Chappell, I think, is a phenomenal electrical engineer. He's worked with us, and he designed stuff. Some of it we like, some of it we don't. It's trial and error, like Nick said. We're open to try it. But when we're on every episode, we're having 5 or 6 investigations where there's video goggles, which has a word database of over 500 words. And the only way that that can be manipulated is by different energies being manipulating that word database. And when we're walking around and this thing is answering our questions, is saying things in absolute 100% pinpoint accuracy and relevance to where we're at or what we're pointing at or what we're looking at. I mean, we just did for season 3 at the Mansfield Reformatory. It started saying the guy's name that we brought in, the prisoner we brought in there that was locked up, but we brought in during the walkthrough to interview. It said his name. And then it said what he experienced before, and we were talking to about the guy that was fried or burned himself alive in there. It's amazing. And it helps us because then we'll use that. Then we'll switch over to a digital recorder, and then we'll get, you know, it's I think paranormal investigating is all about getting evidence on one thing, using another piece of equipment, and backing up that evidence. You can't argue with that. Right. You know, when you have multiple, you know, sources validating one thing that's going on. And that's what we try and do now as we're learning. Season 3, you're going to see us different than season 1. You know, this is an industry where you really got to be out there in the field and do trial and error and educate yourself. This is our full-time job. We live this. And we work with people like Bill Chappell and Mark and Debbie Constantino have taught us everything about EVP. And Nick has really, you know, worked with them, specialized a lot within EVP. And we are right now at the top of our game at what we're doing. And like I said, you'll see a difference from us from season 1. We're growing, and that's the beauty of our show, is we're showing you. We're showing the audience of all the stuff we're learning and how we're now utilizing it. We have new pieces of equipment. So it's really cool.
Cool. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing the new equipment you're going to be using. And especially, I can't wait to find out about the live Halloween show. So that'll be fun.
That sounds very, very cool. So our readers have submitted some questions for us to ask you. Do you guys have some time to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one is from Teresa, and it's for Aaron. Aaron, how do you feel about being left alone in hot spots while Zach and Nick either watch or investigate elsewhere?
It's awful. But, it's scary. It is. When you're all by yourself in those spots, I get a little bitter sometimes, but I know it's what we got to do to get evidence, because you throw me out there, and not every time, but sometimes... Sometimes it picks on me, because I'm always the last guy in the back. I'm always shooting Nick in the back, so there's nothing ever behind me. So that's scary, because I feel like alone. My back's alone. So when I get there on those moments by myself, it's scary. But now I've gotten used to it, so I'm actually a little more stronger, and it really takes a lot to jump my bones now. You know what I mean?
Well, you have been the source of some of my absolute favorite moments from the show, so it's entertaining anyway.
I love that everyone gets humor off of my pain.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I have a question from Andy and John, and they want to know if you have any plans of posting the full footage online of your return to Bobby Mackey's show episode.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't something we went to that we were going to film and document, so we put everything up. I thought they already did that. They should have all the actual EVPs up there, you know?
Yeah, they did. There's a 3-part series up there. We weren't planning on filming it, but, you know us, we always film everything. If you've seen the Aaron vlogs, we film everything.
So they can probably just go to the Travel Channel website and locate it.
TravelChannel.com, you'll see it right there underneath Bobby Mackey Encounters.
Okay.
There, that's everything.
This is a question from Ghostbreakers. Did the voodoo or slave aspect of your investigation at Magnolia Plantation make any difference in the way you approached that particular investigation?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't do voodoo rituals for investigating haunted old prisons. it's really funny. When we go do a location, I myself personally will find, like, music from my iPod. Like, when I go there, I found some old music, you know, some old, I forget the, like, bluegrass music, stuff like that, or... there's another name for the music.
Zydeco?
We lived off the old Brothers Out Thou soundtrack.
you try and put yourself into that environment. You know, that's how I prepare for it personally. Just mentally, you try and familiarize your things with what the spirits that you're after, that you're hunting for, what they did. Put yourself in their environment. If you're going to go to Tombstone, Arizona, and you're going to hunt old gunslingers, find out what that energy feels like. Put yourself in a gunfight. We all do that stuff for show or this or that. When we went to Tombstone, like, guys, we got to try and figure out how we can try and just get into a gunfight, not a real one where we get killed, but just feel that energy. Yeah. Feel what it's like.
Well, definitely I feel your show brings across that energy and the things that you do to go above and beyond, such as the episode where you did dress up as gunfighters and, you know, had that experience, that came across, I thought, with a lot of intensity on the screen. So it definitely works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it serves a purpose. Everything we do serves a purpose.
Right.
Exactly.
I have a question from Gene, and he wants to know, do you have a long-term mission for the Ghost Adventures team?
Long-term question for what's our goal? For the team,
yeah.
For Ghost Adventures,
right.
We've already reached it.
And show people more evidence that we're capturing. We just want to continue to capture evidence and capture, you know, like we captured full body apparition. We're showing people that. We're showing that this does exist. We want people to experience what we're experiencing. When we do these ghost hunts, we don't do them just for fun. We do them so people can come out and experience what we're experiencing, you know, at Bob Mackey's or Goldfield Hotel or back at the Washoe Club where we did all our ghost hunts. We want people to feel and see what we're going through and know that there is more than just death, that there is something beyond that. And what it is, that's what we're capturing.
Right. Great, thanks.
So, Sympathy for the Devil wants to know, what factors do you take into account when you select a location to investigate, and is it a tough decision?
I think the most important thing is it the location's history, what's happened there. That is the first thing that we look for in a location is the history. What may be a product of the haunting? You know, I mean, come on, we got to find that out before we just go to a location. That's the first thing we look for. The next thing is how many people have had experiences there? The more, the better. The more credible they are, the better. Bobby Mackey's, I mean, you get sworn affidavits from clergy, police officers, people that work to make decisions that affect other people's lives, people that make decisions that can take your life. Police officer, gun, has got to be trained. What is a figment of his imagination? What isn't? What's real? What's not? We have a police officer telling us that he saw a full-bodied apparition disappeared right in front of his face with his hand on his gun. I don't believe him. Okay? So, you know, knowing that, the location itself, cosmetically, why do, you know, big haunted-looking, creepy houses. Why are they always said to be haunted? A big old haunted, you know, a big old creepy abandoned mental hospital. Oh, yeah, that's got to be haunted. Well, you know what? Once you look deeper into it, it's kind of, it's there's more to it. If you have a place like the Moon River Brewing Company where you have two floors above where the restaurant is that has the same doors than it did 100 years ago, same door frames, same walls, flooring, some of the old artifacts that are still in there, and nobody's up there. You have an abandoned area that is a familiar environment for a spirit, and to them, that's their home. And I believe to them, it's fully furnished. And sometimes I look at a movie, and some of these movies, some of them do have an accurate depiction of what I believe to be is true, which is The Others, the movie The Others with Nicole Kidman. Kind of like the ghosts see it differently. And sometimes every now and then, those two pieces of Swiss cheese line up, and those holes line up, and then boom, you can kind of see each other. You're like, what the fuck, you know? So that's my depiction of it.
Or it could be like Stir of Echoes, where he opens up his mind and you start seeing, you know, these spirits that are lost and trying to show people that what they're looking for, what they want. And that was a scary one to me, too.
Rick has a question, and I believe it was from the Magnolia Plantation episode. There was a scene where you were going to lock down and you encountered a mysterious flickering light in one of the buildings that you were not going to enter. And he wants to know, why didn't you go in? Did you have access to that building? And if you could have eliminated any type of, you know, mechanical, electrical influence, why didn't you go in and investigate that?
We didn't.
Well, we did.
We tried to. Yeah, we tried to go in, and you know, we were actually able to. You could see into the cabin from if you look at me very closely, you can see that I was able to see inside there.
Right.
And I looked inside of there, and I also pointed my flashlight in there. Mm-hmm. To the first thing you would think of, is it a motion sensor triggering lights in there? Okay, it was very easy. Is this a motion sensor in there triggering these lights going on and off? Okay, well, let's do this. How about, since these are big shutters and I can see inside this cabin, I can put my whole flashlight in there and light that cabin up. Why don't I just turn my flashlight on when the light is off, flicker it around a little bit, and that should trigger the motion sensor, right? So the light should go back on. Well, that didn't happen. And then on top of that, we were already a little bit behind on doing our you know, we got to understand something, too. That while we're investigating that, there's also a cabin sitting over there where we investigated. Let's go back to a credible source, which is a professor at a college, the Houston State College or whatever, stating all of the stuff that has happened in cabin one. That is what our buildup was. You know, I'm not going to switch gears and, you know, take our second part of the lockdown and investigate this other place because of the lights flickering, which at that time we were able to investigate it fully to where we were able to make a decision and have the actual park ranger be there and give us the information we needed. Was him stating that it was on a delay, that when the lights turn on, they stay on for 10 minutes. They shouldn't flicker like that. So I was able to point my flashlight in there, look inside the cabin, and tell that the motion sensor wasn't being activated by my light beam, so stating that something unexplained was going on with the light. But we wanted to get into the cabin where the archaeologist professor found all the artifacts, and where he had that line of organic matter on top of there, and then had all of his equipment move, you know, overnight into a different section of the cabin. I would have really liked to spend the short duration of time, which was only, I think, 3 hours at that time, to lock ourselves in with the original plan of attack while we were able to investigate the other lights.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
We have a comment from Gene, not so much a question, but he wanted to say kudos to the team for embracing new technology and for your openness going forward and using this new technology and equipment in paranormal investigations.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Tom, thank you.
What we like.
And Karen.
So do you guys have words of advice for people who want to have their own ghost adventures?
Know the history. If go on your computer, whatever city you live in, type in Haunted Savannah. There you go. Shadowlands or some other great websites will have all that information. What's haunted around your area? call the location owner or the city, get permission for these locations. Don't go there because a lot of these are abandoned and you will get trespassing charges brought against you. Go to a Walmart, Kmart, buy a cheap, inexpensive digital recorder. The cheaper, the better, because they're going to be less clear. They're going to have more white noise, which is the, you know, the frequency which spirits are believed to speak. Go get a digital recorder. Don't do it at your own house, though. Don't turn that light on at your house. I don't do that. You don't want to know what voices are coming from your house. So, you know, understand the risks that are involved. That's another tip. Get your digital recorder. Take it to, you know, a haunted place. Start asking some questions. Give long pauses after, and get a great pair of headphones. See what you can get back. You know, Nick, you have any other pieces of equipment they can get?
No, those are good tips. Also, I would definitely recommend not just going in by yourself, because you never know with what you're dealing with. From our experience, if you're by yourself, really, really, really know the consequences, because sometimes it can be very crucial and bad. So go in with about 2 to 3 people at least, rather than just by yourself trying to get harmed and stuff, because you never know what's lurking behind you. That's scary.
I got one. I got the most important one. The most important one is trust your instincts sometimes in there. Your body is the best equipment sometimes. Don't always go off of everything, but sometimes you just know.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Paranormal Underground Presents is a presentation of Paranormal Underground and Ghost Night Media. For more information, please visit www.paranormalunderground.net or www.ghostnightmedia.com.